failing in life does not mean failure. It's about failing and getting back up. The point is not to hear about how wonderful their life is, because it's to show all of us and all of you who think that, you know, oh, that looks so easy. It's not. It's about failing and going again, and failing and going again, and never giving up. Whole team limitless. Never settle, we above. Whole crowd showing love. Yeah, overcame when they couldn't believe. Hot sweat, tears, blood on the leaves. Opposition ain't. Today we are very fortunate to have two amazing people. Bryce Hall, who's one of the world's most famous people, if not the most famous, and Brad the Bull Baskin. Not only comes from an incredibly known family, the Baskin Robbins family, but been a top commercial broker, a top residential broker, obviously now manages Bryce Hall, won top bodybuilding contest. We're going to learn all about his success and failures as well. Thank you for being on the show, guys. So we've had some really interesting guests. We just heard from Nigel Lithgow, who I think you know, who created American Idol and So You Think You Can Dance, and he really shared some deep failure with us. And part of why I think this was a really exciting show for us is not only am I, you're like my little brother. I feel like we've known you since, I think I've known you since you're 18. And, yeah.
19.
We've been working together. And Brad and I have known each other literally since we were 13. You know, for me, what I see the most and what I hear the most, and as we do this show, as people reach out, a lot of young people, especially on social media, they feel like failures because they see all this stuff that looks like it's happening so easy. They see you and others like you who, you know, in their mind, oh, they're just posting and all of a sudden they've got 5 million people and they're getting brand deals and they're getting paid and you got a fast car and a cool house and parties and, you know, hot girls and, you know, oh, what a life and why don't I have that? And, you know, we've been touching even on mental health on the show and how it leads to even like a low self-esteem and people who really question themselves a lot. And I think, you know, coming on this show, my hope is that you being in that peer group and you being arguably one of the most famous people in the world, and maybe not even arguably, you know, but being obviously having had so much success at such a young age, yet you've gone through incredible resistance and you've been resilient and you've climbed mountaintops to get here. And I don't think people ever see that. They just see the, oh yeah, Bryce is just, you know, partying and having fun and making money and that's it, right? You know, Bryce, what I kind of have started with in the past, you know, I think I'd love to hear from you is, do you remember your first major failure? In your mind, the thing that was like, could be as a kid, it could be in your young adulthood, whatever, but that really impacted your life and that made you change the way you see things.
I think my first major failure was documented. It was that loss against Austin McBroom.
That was your first,
the first major failure that changed my life, I think.
So I want to definitely come to that because that's like a failure in front of the whole world, right? And that is a whole other thing that I don't think people even understand. But do you remember, like, obviously before that, you became a big influencer and you were doing very well. And, you know, you were part of the original Hype House and, you know, you were
Sway House.
Sway House, I'm sorry. Sway House, Hype House.
We're not Hype House, yeah.
Well, we had both of them. So it was like, to me, you were all our kids.
Kids.
you were all my kids. I had to get out of trouble at some point or another. But before that, like, you didn't just wake up one morning and be like, oh, now I'm famous and making money. Like, what was your childhood like? Like, tell me, how did you get into it? Let's start there. Maybe we'll be able to find some.
Grew up, didn't have many friends in high school. So I started live streaming to talk to people.
So you were like, because everybody thinks you were like the popular kid.
Far from it.
No?
Far from the popular kid. So I started live streaming on a platform because I had nobody like to just talk to and chop it up with. So I would start these like live streams on a platform called YouNow. I'd have like 4 or 5 people in my live streams. I remember it. I would just be talking to them, not doing anything entertaining. And then it got up to, I think, 20 to 30 viewers. And I started doing like stupid stuff like prank calls, jumping off of shit, like just doing like weird athletic things. It like gradually kept growing. And I didn't realize that I could make a career out of it, but it was just fun for me to do, to just like talk to people, rant, talk shit, just like do everything that I wanted to do in high school, but I couldn't because I really was like that nerdy kid that nobody would listen to.
So this is like a really good, this is to me the epitome of failure. Because you started as a kid, but I mean, you still are a kid, so, you know.
24 isn't really a kid.
No, but to me, you're a kid. To us, you're a kid. You're a man, I'm just kidding.
I'm like a grown man now.
You're like a man kid. Kid man.
Yeah. Nope.
We're going to cut all that out.
Yeah, cut all that. I'm a man.
You're my son, literally.
No. It's not even a thing.
Both
it's
are
crazy.
Sons?
It's crazy.
At least my little brother. You're my little brother.
You guys are my dads.
We should talk together? About like schooled yeah. you.
No, that's not a thing.
You in the pool with the barbells.
Nobody even needs to know that.
Okay, good. So I didn't think anybody wanted to know about that.
What are we talking about?
So anyway, we're back to So here you are. Everybody sees Bryce Hall, the most popular, the coolest. You know, kind of the bad boy, getting a lot of fights. You know, but you have a great time. You love to party, and you're so popular. But you just, as you said, you had no friends in high school, so you were not popular. It was not being popular. Yeah. And it was I'll call it failure, which is what we see. When we say failure, it doesn't mean we failed at life. It means we had a failure that leads us to success, right? So it was like kind of failing at being popular and you wanting that led you to start what has become and was the catalyst to the most success in your life. Is it fair to say that?
I guess I didn't really overanalyze it like that, but yeah.
And like, do you remember when you first did it? Was it like, were you lonely and you just felt like you didn't have friends and this was like a way to connect with people because you just wanted to have friends in your life?
That's exactly what it was.
Can you tell me how that felt?
Honestly, once I started live streaming, I felt better. But like therapeutic? When I didn't have that that alternative, it was like kind of just overthinking in my head all the time.
And can you tell us... like, it's tough because a lot of high school kids hopefully are going to be watching this who are, you know, I wasn't the most popular kid in high school. Brad was, actually. Brad was like the most popular kid in high school.
No. That explains a lot.
He was, actually.
I had a good high school experience.
But like a lot of it, you know, a lot of people struggle with that and they don't have friends and they feel like, I think on social media, everybody seems like they're so popular and, oh, look at all these friends and great stuff. But like, you know, people see you and it's hard to imagine that you didn't have friends. So like, I think a lot of people would want to hear from you, like how that felt and, you know, how you got through it. And, you know, it might be inspirational to help those people too, who are in that position right now.
I mean, honestly, I thought it was the end of the world while I was in high school. And once I left high school, I realized how small it was. None of their opinions matter at all. You pass them and then you never hear about them again. Unless you go like to college with them and you have them for another like 4 years, but you never even talk to these people. Maybe you see them at these 10-year reunions, 20-year reunions, but you never see these people ever again after high school. So like going back, if I could go back in high school, I wish I was more like, I don't give a fuck. I cared so much about what these high schoolers were saying about me and doing to me. There was no closure where I could just look at these guys and say like, fuck you, I don't care about you.
Well, you could say it right now.
I think they see me now.
You don't have to say it.
Yeah.
You just did it. They say success is the best revenge, right? So that's an interesting one because you went through in high school what I didn't go through till I was like 40, which is, you know, I had to go through being like the top of, which we've talked a little bit about, in the top of Hollywood, like, you know, front page of every paper, you know, the youngest billion, all this, like, I mean, you name it. I was just to like literally having as we've talked about, corporate hostile takeover and the company going into a chapter. I had to put in chapter 11 and fought for 2 years to get it back. And every day just getting fucking shit on. And I remember waking up in the morning, like, and just feeling awful. And
publicly, though.
Publicly. Public. And that's why this fight I can relate to, which we're going to come back to, is very public. But where I was going with this wasn't that, because I think I really want to, when we get to the Austin fight, like I can sympathize a lot. It took me going through that and then like being disconnected to realize I don't actually give a fuck. What I care about, people who read the Hollywood Reporter, like, oh no. That, by the way, the same Hollywood Reporter that the year prior called me showman of the year and, you know, first $1 billion producer and had no problem taking my $5 or $10 or $15 million. No offense, Hollywood Reporter, we love you. Just saying, I could say Variety, Hollywood Reporter. I could say any outlet. With, you know, what sells, right? Stories sell. It took me that to wake up one day and be like, what do I care what these people think? They're not my friends. You know, if they were my friends, they would know the real story, and they're here. My friends are here. It's interesting. You actually learn that at such a young age that it's like, it's a huge blessing. Because I wish I actually learned that earlier. When I just stopped giving a fuck is when my life got great. Feels good, right?
Yeah, not giving a fuck.
You still feel the same way? Like, do you just not give a fuck?
I care about my close circle, and that's about it.
Yeah, same. As you know. Brett, the bowl. still going to figure out where the bowl comes from, but, you know.
I'll figure it out later.
Right?
Sure, yeah.
Not the Hulk, though.
No, that's, yeah, me.
Okay, so Brad, no. I mean, you know, you were, obviously, as I said, I wasn't joking, he was very, very popular in high school, if not the most popular. You know, everybody kind of looked up to him. I remember, I mean, you're 1 year younger than me at school, right? But yeah. Tell me about your first failure you remember. Like, was it as a kid? Was it older? Because you had a, you know, to at least as a high schooler, I remember seeing you thinking like, wow, he's got it made.
Yeah, yeah, no. well, I mean, like, you know, I got bullied in like summer camp. This kid, Jared, used to like harass me so badly. I had a stomach ache every day going to camp. I'll never forget that. Yeah, it was absolutely terrible. But one day I just decided to beat his ass. So that went away.
Worst failure is I didn't get to fuck this one girl.
No, that's no one's talking like that, man. Actually, the most embarrassing thing for me, like really early on, was in seventh grade. I tried out for the basketball team at Brentwood. Didn't make it.
Weren't you on the basketball team?
Yeah, I played on the varsity team later on, but seventh grade, I didn't make it. And it was like, you know, you're trying to establish yourself in high school. And you know, I thought I was this great athlete, you know, among my friends, I was. But then to try out for a team with this whole group of new guys that you're hanging out with and my friend group that I had formed, and to get cut from the team, it was just like devastating.
And then you came back and became like one of the best athletes.
I mean, it definitely made me practice a lot and get better. Yeah.
What about like in life? Like you and I, obviously you're a little bit older than Bryce. Some could say you're his daddy.
Wow.
No one says
no
daddy.
One says, no one says
daddy's not a thing.
That's
at all.
Crazy.
No, I'm joking. What? But
dad. Yeah.
Dad. Okay. No. Some say you're his dad.
Yeah, no. So there's this company, Entertainer, that my cousin Richard Baskin started. It was basically Netflix before Netflix. It was video on demand. We had all the big studios involved, had all their library of content. And actually, it's funny. That's where I ran to you again, but I'll get back to that. But yeah, so I actually dropped out of school to work with him. Ran into him in Brentwood at dinner. He said, hey, come work with me. Quit the job. I was the fourth employee. Got up to 130 employees. We were crushing it, talking about going public. And then just... It didn't work out. You know, the studio started competing against us with MovieFly. Sony did that and all sorts of other, you know, platforms. And yeah, so the funding just kind of, you know, dried up and I lost my job, 4 days before my wedding. Yeah.
That's tough.
Yeah. It was rough. It was really bad. So I was on my honeymoon, actually. We were in Bali. And, the whole thing I was thinking about was just like, what am I going to do when I get back? Now I'm married. I have to make a living and figure this out really quickly. So we ended up actually leaving early because I just couldn't relax.
Stressed.
I was just crushed and I just didn't feel like a man. It's like so emasculating for me to get married and just all of a sudden just not know where anything was going to come from, you know?
That's tough. That'd be really tough. Can't even imagine. So you want to go back to like you were talking about one of the things that really got you where you were was somewhat of a fluke by the fact that you didn't have friends and you weren't popular in high school and you wanted to make friends. And at the same time, you also were going through this, I don't want to call it bullying, but you just said that people were saying and doing things that were not cool, basically. Tell me like what those were. Do you remember?
So many years ago. I mean, saying a lot of, it's like the high school insults that would get under your skin because you're a 14, 15, 16 year old. You know, the you're gay, like, oh, you're stupid, you're unpopular, you have no friends, like, ha, that's why nobody likes you, like those types of things. But then I started social media when I was 14 years old, right? Because again, I had no friends. So every single time, are you laughing at my story?
Are you actually laughing at, wait, should we do that without laughing?
What you said is, again, I had no friends.
But it's good, but Brett, don't laugh at that. It's not good.
That's crazy.
Don't laugh at that.
I'm going to say it again.
Can you say it again and not have him laugh?
I'm going to say it again.
Actually, we're on a very serious thing here.
I'm going to open up. You cannot laugh when I'm talking about my bullying.
This is part of the problem of having the popular kid in our podcast.
He's already getting back into his old habits.
Yeah.
He's getting back into his old habits.
He's going to be like, you're gay.
All right, so as I was saying, these people were calling me names and they would be filming me because I would do like social media back then and I was starting to gain traction. Would film me in the hallways, you know, the typical shoulder check, knock my shit out of my hand, make me pick it up. Like it was like literally to a T high school bully, movie edition, like that type of thing. And then some days I really, we used to go into lunch and we'd have to like, you know, pick our tables and, you know, sit at our group of friends' tables. Like we would pick our tables. I didn't have that. So I would eat my food in the bathroom some days. So gross. But yeah, I would eat my food, the cafeteria food in the bathroom. Wow. Smelled like shit.
That's, I mean, sucks, but it's really interesting because you're probably like a huge, it'd be even more of an inspiration and hope for people to hear that because you being, you know, so popular now. I mean, what do you have, 50 million social media followers?
Across the board?
Yeah.
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 You also have a table named after you at a few restaurants.
Yeah, so that's actually pretty sick.
I mean, you also are a movie star now. You're a boxing pro, I'm just saying. But being so popular and, like, you are kind of synonymous with popularity and cool kid, you know? And so I think for a lot of the world out there, like, that failure, like, failing at being cool, kind of drove you to become the coolest person in the world. Like, and that's, if someone asks, you know, someone brings up Bryce Hall, they're like, oh, that's that like kind of that social media punk cool kid. Like, you know, people see you as that. It's so funny because I know you so well and you're like the sweetest guy in the world. And like people are like, oh, that's like pricky guy, right? Like he was like always getting in fights and, you know, parties. And I'm like, yeah, no. But yeah, yes, that's the guy.
Yes, you know? That's 100% him.
But it's funny because like, so the very guy people think you are, which you're not, but you are kind of popular for, right? Yeah. Is kind of what led you to become this without meaning to. Is that like fair to say?
Which is that, yeah, it's really weird. Yeah.
Right? If you think about it, like, I mean, hopefully we're calming down on them, but oh, you do get 100%. In fights. You do get in fights a lot. You party. You
used to, yeah.
You do, you kind of sometimes when you get drunk, you use names against people for fun. And, but honestly, I'm saying the character you became, because that's really what it is in social media, right? It's somewhat of a character, because I know you in real life and the character the world thinks they see with you, right? And it's the same thing with actors, right? Acting's acting, social media is a little more real, but this helped you craft yourself and craft your character. You kind of became who you wanted to be somewhat. That it's interesting because when I hear like, oh, this is what was happening to me, and then I'm like, well, look at you now. Like you kind of decided, well, I'm gonna go take a camera and create my own life, and you did.
Started off crazy and then formed into, you said it best, I formed what I wanted to be, which is the most authentic version of myself on social media and on camera at all times.
What do you think drives you the most of that? So like, it's so interesting because, you know, I didn't even know this part about you. And I know you and I know each other as well as anyone. And like, you know, so like underneath all this is this, I mean, I have the same, like, there's almost this scared kid that like eventually had to just say, fuck it. But like, I don't like what's here. And I say, if you can't change what's out here, change what's here, right? I said that to my 7-year-old, 8-year-old this morning. He's like, I don't like school, you know, but what 8-year-old does, right? But I actually said that to him. I said, you know, Tommy loves you.
Who,
you know,
likes school?
You're right. I said, Tommy, listen, the problem is you're going to go to school. And they say, if you can't change what's out here, change what's in here. So we got to figure out how to make you like school. So you did that. And you did it in a way that like, I mean, like you crushed and you're showing the world, you became who you wanted to be. What advice do you give people in that? Like people who are struggling, a lot of people at that age, especially think it's the end of the world. I mean, you know, I think like some of the stats I've been reading, teen suicides are at an all time high. Depression is super high. People are bummed in this world. You know, people feel very lonely. And the more that social media grows, you know, kind of ironically, the more lonely they get. Cause you look at these pretty pictures all day long and you scroll through your feed and you see all these, you know, perfect looking pictures and people like to Photoshop their pictures and look at my Lamborghini or my Bentley and how fun my life is. And we all know that's set up, but it's kind of, you still feel it. And kids especially feel like, oh, I must be doing something wrong. Like, well, what advice would you give for those people right now who are feeling lonely or getting picked on, or maybe not even kids, maybe they're just feeling like a failure in life?
I think I wouldn't have great advice, but I would say, take what I say with a grain of salt. number one thing, the one thing that was stopping me from personal, nice Brad.
Nice Brad. How's that?
Brad shakes Brad these things.
Brad did that. By the way, that's my latest failure.
That's why they call him Brad the Bull. You see? He blew up my bucked up.
That is so insane.
Bro, why do you keep shaking?
He did this to Brad, just so you guys know.
So crazy.
We're going to keep rolling through this and while they're bringing me a napkin. But Bryce did this to Brad earlier. Like, literally right before the show.
Yeah, Bryce did it to me.
Brad did it to Bryce. I opened one of these
Brad
and
handed
just
it to Bryce and
it
blew up all over him. And he literally, you've been waiting to do that to me the whole show.
Some random person shook it too much and you guys are being dicks and blaming me.
It sat there for 2 hours. The only person near it, and I saw his hand the whole time, was you.
Okay. Man, he still has those bullying tendencies. Anyways, the number one thing that was stopping me was caring about people's opinions, criticism, and it was getting in my head. And it was almost like every single time somebody would criticize me, I would think in my head, is that true? I was questioning myself. And once I pushed out all of that, realized in my head, these people's opinions don't actually matter, that's when I started succeeding. And believing in myself more than anyone on earth would believe in me. Nobody believed in me other than my mom at the time. So that was my personal experience. It was when I stopped caring about what people were saying about me, questioning me, criticizing me.
You know, you're pretty wise for your years. That's like I'd give the same advice at my age.